We invite all the children to come forward for the children's message.
And all young adults as well. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining Annie and I during the children's sermon. Today, we'll be talking about... So who do you guys think is the greatest? Who do you guys think is the greatest? Ideas? Any ideas? Okay, well, me and Annie think God is the greatest, right? Do you guys ever argue with people? No? No, you guys don't argue with anyone? You do? Me and you argue, I know that. Do you disagree with people, and like when people say something you don't like, do you tell them to stop? Scotty? You do? No? Yeah? Well, in today's gospel, the disciples were arguing and talking bad to each other, and Jesus knew what they were talking about. What do you think Jesus wanted them to do? Do you think he wanted them to keep arguing and fighting, or do you think he wanted them to stop? Stop. Correct. So, to do this, you know, you got to think back and have a time out. Did anyone have a time out as a child? As a child? Yeah? You know, Scotty, you're correct. When you have a time out, what do you think about? Do you think about what you did wrong and stuff? Yeah, in a way? Yeah, me too. So the disciples, Jesus wanted them to think back on how they were bad in a way and what they could do better. And what God wants us to do today is he wants us to think on how we can be better and how we can follow God and help him, or follow in his ways, I guess. So today the cookie, it's not really a shape, but it's a chocolate chip cookie. So we're going to pray before we eat this cookie.
Dear Jesus, help me to work together with others and care for them. Amen.
All right, come get your cookie.
There's something about little girls. Pastor Eric will be returning this week, and he asked Dave Berg to read the sermon today, but Dave Berg and Nancy went to Rose Dunham's memorial service, and so Dave asked me if I would read it. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In today's gospel, Jesus is back in his home territory of Galilee, but he did not want anyone to know it. While Jesus was away from Galilee, he was busy. He has now told the disciples about his impending betrayal, death, and resurrection, and that if they want to continue following him, they should be prepared to pick up their crosses as well. Now, Jesus tries to slide into Galilee, escaping notice, while he does some important in-service training. Jesus tells them for the second time what is going to happen to him. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and the 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. The disciples still do not understand, and it appears that they are afraid to ask questions. Perhaps they don't understand this confusing message about a Messiah who suffers and dies. Or perhaps they are afraid to reveal their ignorance. Maybe they remember the rebuke Peter received when Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Instead of trying to figure things out amongst themselves or asking questions of Jesus, they start arguing with each other about who is the greatest. When Jesus asks what they have been arguing about, they are silent. Perhaps they are too embarrassed to admit they have been arguing with each other about who was the greatest among them. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't lash out at them, belittle them, or make them feel dumb. Instead, Jesus once again tells them about how in God's kingdom, the first become last. Being last is how to get ahead in his kingdom. They don't understand, and perhaps we can relate. When you stop to think about it, Jesus is telling them some pretty amazing things. I doubt whether anyone expected that the promised Messiah would redeem Israel through suffering, through dying, and being raised from the dead. In all four Gospels, the reaction of the disciples to Jesus' resurrection is never, "Oh, we knew that," or "It's about time," or "Yeah, that was the way he promised." Instead, those confronted with Jesus' resurrection doubt. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are contrary to everything we expect to happen. So world-changing that if we don't have doubts, maybe we aren't taking it seriously. The Gospel of Mark brings out the faults and failing of the disciples, and they appear to be afraid to ask questions. Perhaps we aren't all that different. At times, I have been afraid to ask questions. I don't think that I am alone. Sometimes we may not want to look uninformed. The thing is, questions are part of who we are. They are a part of living. Perhaps some are reluctant to ask questions because we think questions are a sign of doubt. In fact, questions can be a mark of an active curiosity, a desire to learn. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. As one commentator put it, faith grows in the soil of doubts and challenges. One wonders if the disciples would have appeared differently if they had been more willing to ask questions. Questions can be the sign of a curious and lively mind and faith. Jesus goes ahead and takes advantage of this teaching. Jesus tells the disciples that true greatness is not to be above others, but to be the least of all and servant of all. It's not a matter of climbing the social ladder or climbing a work ladder, but rather going down the ladder. In that place, one is not surrounded by the company of powerful, but by those we mingle with every day. Consider the child that Jesus embraces and places before the disciples. The gospel draws us to the age-old question, who is the greatest? Pastor Eric recalls how on a road trip when his children were very young and his son was trying his patience, finally in exasperation he raised his voice in the car and said, "Joshua, you're not in charge here." Of course, in hindsight, his son was in charge, or he wouldn't have driven Pastor to the frustrated point that he was at. Who gets to decide who is the greatest? Muhammad Ali said that he was. Our president, like some previous presidents, assumes that he is. Who is the greatest is the perennial question. We as a society haven't been able to define the qualities of greatness, partly because we know how the world operates and we want to come out on top. We also know Jesus' criteria for greatness, and it does not mesh well with the world's definition. Of course, I'd like to think that the church doesn't succumb to the world's definition of greatness, but that's not the case. We talk of how attendance at church is going, how many are in the Sunday school, how the offerings are looking, how our members are serving in the community. Pastor Eric wonders at times whether his sermon bombed or addressed people's lives. We've all been taught to be successful by the world's standards rather than by embracing going down the ladder. A servant's call appears to lack the power, influence, and greatness that others claim. Who would prefer to be looked down upon as one of the least? Yet, Jesus' solitary life has impacted the world more than any other. Throughout his ministry, Jesus associates with the last and the least in society: Gentile women, lepers, bleeding women, raging demoniacs, tax collectors, and other notorious sinners. Now he even welcomes and makes time for little girls and little boys, much to the disciples' chagrin, who try to send the children away. Children are always vulnerable, dependent on others for their well-being, and it is these little ones with whom Jesus identifies. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. The good news is that Jesus welcomes us even when we don't get it right. even when we succumb to the world's notion of greatness, even when we are reluctant to ask questions, and when we don't understand what is going on. Today's gospel ends with the scene of Jesus embracing a child who is the ultimate symbol of not knowing, not understanding, immature, and undeveloped. We do not need to fear our questions, our misunderstandings, our confusion, or our curiosity. In fact, Pastor would like to invite you today to write down a question about faith, God, or the Bible that you wonder about, and pass them in with the offering. Now, I don't think he meant just today, but over the course of the following weeks, if you have any questions, write them down and put them in the offering plate. That's all. You don't have to put your name down or discuss them with the person sitting next to you. Just write down a question if you have one about the Bible, about God, or about faith, and put it in the offering plate. And if you want to write today, there are little pieces of paper at the edge of the inside of your seats. You can write them today and put them in the offering plate. What you write is part of your offering to God. Just as we give our time, talents, and money, so we also can give our questions to God. Our questions, our challenges, and our doubts. Of course, God hears them without you writing them down, but Pastor Eric would like to read them. It's not that he's going to necessarily try to answer them all, but it's a way for us, him and all of us, to walk this journey of faith together more deeply. Who is the greatest? I don't normally think of it as a faith question, but it is. When God became human, he upended every idea of greatness that the world understood. When God became human, greatness was no longer about elevating oneself above someone else, but coming down the ladder and being in relationship with each other. God could have chosen some authoritarian way to determine greatness, but instead chose to reveal God's self in a helpless baby who grows up to give away his life in love in order to draw us into relationship to be together. David Loos invites us to dream what our world would look like if we adopted Jesus' definition of greatness, and he quotes, "Think about it for a minute. What if Jesus is right? What if we imagined that greatness wasn't about power and wealth and fame and all the rest, but instead we measured greatness by how much we share with others, how much we take care of others, how much we love others, how much we serve others? What kind of world would we live in? If there were nationally broadcast competitions to see, or news alerts to see who was willing to be last so that others could be first. If there were reality TV shows that followed people around as they tried to help as many people as possible," unquote. When greatness is determined by weakness and vulnerability, and coming down the ladder by service and sacrifice and humility and honor by truthfulness and faithfulness, then the world will be a different place. That is the place that we are called to build, a place where all are welcome. That is the place we are created for and someday will be our eternal home. Amen. So our next song is page 641.